The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Have I done enough with my life? At some points in life, midlife, upon hearing a terminal diagnosis, perhaps upon our deathbeds, that question raises itself up in the human spirit. Have I done enough with what I've been given? Today, in this gospel reading, we hear from Jesus how the creator of life measures enough. What's most important? But I think that some people might hear this gospel reading in a more individualistic way. Do I bear enough fruit? And by that I mean some people worry, am I in group A, where you get whatever you ask from God, to put it crudely? Am I okay with God? Or group B, that gets thrown into the fire? I think that there are some Christians who hear scripture only in those terms of going to heaven or avoiding hell, which is unfortunate because God's word is mostly for the benefit of life now, on earth, in this moment. In John, bearing fruit does not mean leading a virtuous life. That kind of Christian thinking came much later. It doesn't even mean doing good works. Here in John, bearing fruit means keeping Jesus' commandments, as you'll hear in the coming verses next Sunday. And in this gospel, there's one commandment above all others for Jesus. Actually, he gives this new commandment, as he calls it, just four verses later, after verse 8. It's the commandment that we hear on Maundy, Commandment Thursday, during Holy Week. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Bearing fruit means loving your neighbor. That's God's measure for life, for human beings. And we're not talking feelings of love, eros love, E-R-O-S, or even in Greek, the friendly brotherly kind of philos, Philadelphia kind of love. We're talking agape, other-centered love, love that's even willing to sacrifice for the sake of the neighbor. And let's be even clearer. We're not talking about people who are so nice and so worried about others all the time that they can't seem to ask anything for themselves. Because really, underneath that, even though it appears on the outside that their time and energy is on others, underneath, it really is on themselves, worrying about what their neighbors think of them and appearing nice versus what their neighbors really need. See what I'm saying? The measure and meaning of human life is in caring and serving others. That's what our Creator intended, and that's the way we humans are wired, that we find deep meaning in confidently caring and serving others. So how are you doing with that? You can give yourself a little test. When you hear Jesus say, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you." So the test is, what are some of the first things that come to mind? Whatever you wish. Many of us go directly to kind of the Santa Claus framework of mind. Let's see, what do I really want? But if Christ and Christ's word is abiding in you, if you're bearing fruit, the first thing that's thought of really is the neighbor, not the self, including neighbors we don't know and don't even like. So if your neighbor wasn't the very first thing that came to mind, if somehow it revolved around you, then just admit that you're in the what's in it for me club, like most of us, most of the time. And if you're thinking right now, well, so-and-so really should hear something about this, sorry, you've also failed the test, but nice try in trying to deflect. The word is addressed to you and to me, not to those we want to teach a lesson. For John, a branch that bears no fruit is one in which there is no love. It's dead, it's withered, it's turned in on the self. So it makes sense that it gets pruned off. Dead branches need pruning, which can sound pretty frightening, especially when you throw fire into the mix. But remember, God's word is for this life mainly, and this moment while you're listening and hearing and going about your daily callings. Threats of punishment create fear, not love for the neighbor. Ah, that's our woodpecker. Did you hear that? Right? He's back. Listen up. I paid him to do that, so you get your attention. It's kind of hard to stay awake on cold, sleepy, dark mornings. Jesus makes it pretty clear. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can't do this love thing. Apart from God's love, we just can't dredge up love for our neighbors in a lasting way. Particularly, the type of serving and sacrificial love that Jesus revealed on the cross. So how do we abide in the love that we don't create, but merely are a channel for? The Greek word is the same to prune and to cleanse. It's the same word. So every branch that bears no fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been pruned by the word that I have spoken to you. See, God works on us through the word. It begins with baptism, nothing more than a visible word, water. And through baptism, Jesus the vine grafts us into himself, just as at the late service, Jesus will join himself to little baby Lucas, who was born 3 months early at under 3 pounds. And through the water and the promise, Jesus proclaims to Lucas that he will be his child forever in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then as he grows older and as we grow older in the word, we encounter the word made flesh. And the word prunes us, helps us to see ourselves, and drives us to God for forgiveness. So as you read and speak to each other each week about God's grace, as we gather each Sunday, the dead is pruned away and the new springs forth. Through the words spoken right now, the old vine in us withers and new comes to life. Through the visible word in the meal, bread and wine, the old is cut off and the new unfurls and flowers. Christ prunes away all of our insecurities, our failures, our games, our judgments, our defenses, our hatred, so that the true vine in us, Christ, naturally bears fruit, bears love and concern for human brothers and sisters. So when you're feeling withered, unloving, hateful, unfruitful, dead. Simply put yourself in the way of the Word and let God prune you once again so that you may and we may once again abide in the vine for the sake of the neighbor, the true vine, the one bearing true, real love, which gives itself away for the sake of the world. As we'll now sing, O blessed spring, where word and sign embrace us into Christ the vine. Here, Christ enjoins each one to be a branch of this life-giving tree. Life-giving tree. Amen.